Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend.
Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 through 9. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 through 9. Now here we're going to be dealing with servants and masters. Read it. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of heart, as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there any respect of persons with him. Well, reading over that thing, I caught myself missing an article here or there. Sorry about that. But in reading this text, you don't really have a situation so much today where you have servants and masters. What you have here today is employers and employees. But the instructions are the same, even so. Furthermore, concerning servants, though we are sons of God because we got saved, we are still servants and we must serve the Lord Jesus Christ. That is, when you get saved, salvation deals with your sonship. But after you get saved, you and I are to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, and our service is judged at the judgment seat of Christ. So this text applies to us today in service of the Lord Jesus Christ as well, although we'll apply it mainly, as it's written, between employers and in their employees. Now, concerning this service of the Lord Jesus Christ, notice what Paul said about his relationship to Jesus Christ, that although he was a son, notice this, Romans chapter 6, verse 22. Romans chapter 6, verse 22. All right, there the Bible says, but now being made free from sin and become servants of God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. So here he says he's become a servant of God. And that's true, you know. We get the benefits of sonship, the inheritance and so forth that's promised to us, the eternal life. The fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, answer to prayer and all that stuff. But we have work to do. Of course, today it's not as common for Christians to see the relationship they have with the Lord in work. So much preaching has been aimed at just showing up at church and paying the tithe that people have forgotten there's a great deal still to be done for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's where our service comes in, all right? 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, look at verse 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, look at verse 5. The Bible says, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. So the service not only goes directly to God, but it goes from a minister to the people that he is ministering to, and it goes for brothers in Christ serving each other in the Lord. Now this exhortation here that we find in Ephesians chapter 6 about serving masters, it also shows up in Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 at verse 22. Read that one. It says, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. So it's the same thing there. And then notice also in 1 Timothy chapter 6, look how the exhortation goes. It matches something else that's in Ephesians chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6 says this, let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. Now, did you see here he said, let as many servants as are under the yoke? Well, there's a difference between a hired servant and a bond servant. Look again in Ephesians chapter 6 at the last part of verse 8, where he says, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. So there's a free servant who's a hired hand, somebody that comes in at will is paid a wage, and then another one who is bought into bond service, almost like a slave. And Paul even refers to himself as a slave of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now he says here in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 1, let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them, because they are brethren, but rather do them service, because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort, which is what I'm doing now. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he's proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, and so forth. So you're being taught today the right relationship between an employee and his employer. And of course, God starts out through Paul dealing with the servant first, and recognize that at that time there were still bond servants and there were still hired or free servants. And it didn't make any difference whether the boss was a saved man or a lost man. It was no difference. The attitude of the servant toward his boss was to be the same either way, according to 1 Timothy chapter 6. Now, the conditions for servants, employees, are clear, they're specific, and they're very beneficial as far as the employee is concerned. The command here is to obey the master. Obey your employer. You see that there in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5? Servants, be obedient. Be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh. So always, the employee should be looking out for everything that he is told to do. And that's not the way that most employees handle their relationship with their employer today. And that's because of a lot of things. That has to do with unions. That has to do with civil actions and so forth against employers to keep from having abuse where the employer's working the employee too hard and stuff like that. And what's happened is that where those things got started to protect the employee from abuse by an employer and make sure that the employee was fairly represented and fairly protected, had a safe working environment, and was adequately compensated for his work, a lot of that stuff went too far and has put into the mind of certain employees that it's their right to cut corners and to do less than they are told to do. In other words, it seems like there are many employees today who want to do as little as possible on the job and still keep the work and yet get a full day's wage. That seems to be the attitude of a lot of employees. And you hear a lot of disgruntled employers talking about that. And you hear a lot of disgruntled employees talking about the way they are making up for their lack of adequate compensation. It's not uncommon for employees to steal inventory or money from their employers to make up what they think is something that they rightfully deserve. Because the employer, after all, is making a whole lot of money, and the employee who is working for the employer is not making nearly as much money, so they're going to cut corners and steal a few things and steal a little extra time because, after all, they feel like they deserve it. You know, sleep on the job, or if they're run around many times, you may want to, you know, rest a little too long or take too long at lunch or take too much coffee time or whatever it may be. And this command here really removes from your judgment whether or not you have a fair employer. This admonition from Paul is very specific, very clear, and says you are to obey them that are your masters according to the flesh, period. And he doesn't ask you to make a judgment as to whether or not it's right. Listen, if in your mind and if your heart and prayerfully considering before the Lord God, there is something wrong with you working for that employer and you cannot put in an honest day's work because he's not honest or something like that, then go find you another job, but don't justify yourself by stealing from that employer. That's not right either. What do we have a saying that says two wrongs don't make a right? So here it says obey your employer, and that's what you're supposed to do. Now there are some don'ts, there are some do's, and there are some reasons why. What are the don'ts? Well, first of all, don't be insubordinate. Now, that's not a word that you find used very often anymore, but that's a military word where I first heard it used. Don't be insubordinate. What does insubordinate mean? Well, insubordinate means to be disobedient, to be defiant, to be rebellious, to mutiny, to be in noncompliance. To be insubordinate is the opposite of what he says here. Servants, when you obey them that are your masters according to the flesh, do it with fear and trembling. Why, what employee fears their boss and trembles before their boss today? And what employee honestly thinks that their employer has the right to expect that they should fear and tremble before them? That's uncommon. People talk about fairness in the workplace and minimum wage and adequate pay and all that kind of stuff, and there's an awful lot of demand to make the workplace very comfortable. You want to have the adequate temperature and all these other things to make the workplace very nice. But what Paul wrote down here in Ephesians chapter 6 is very different from that sounding. It says here, you are to obey them with fear and trembling. That is, that they have some right, apparently, when it was written, to exercise some sort of a judgment or punishment against the servant that didn't obey the command, in very much the same way that God would chasten us if we didn't obey him. Look at our relationship to God in Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, he says, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Well, what Christian today works out his own salvation with fear and trembling? Today, Christians have no conscience, it appears, about going and watching dirty scenes and filthy language in movies, and many times drinking and other things like that God would not approve of. That doesn't sound like somebody that's afraid of God's judgment and trembles at God's command. So if a person isn't going to fear their own Lord and tremble at his command, why in the world would they be concerned about what their employer thinks about them? I mean, it's not uncommon for employees to fuss and complain in the coffee bar and say all kinds of disparaging remarks against their employers to other employees in the gossip ring. And that's not at all what Paul tells you to do as a Christian here. You know, if you're a Christian in a workplace and you've been complaining about your supervisor or complaining about your employer, you're going to have a very hard time convincing people that your Christianity is worth having. Now, I understand that your employer may not be a perfect boss, but here Paul doesn't even concern whether or not your boss is a perfect boss. He concerns your relationship to your employer in the same way that you would have if you were this slave. So I know this is not palatable. I agree with you. You know, this doesn't sound very interesting. But listen, this is Bible and not the current thinking of the world. And after all, God is our judge, as you'll see toward the end of this lesson. And God is expecting us to be able to do what we're told to do because he said so and not because we like our boss or don't. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, look at verses 14 and 15. Paul said, if I have boasted anything to him of you, talking about Titus, I am not ashamed, but as we speak all things to you in truth, even so our boasting, which I made before Titus, is found a truth. And his inward affection is more abundant towards you, whilst he remembereth the obedience of you all, how with fear and trembling you received him. Now here's a congregation. Titus came to preach for them, and to check on them, and to exhort them, and to build them up and strengthen them, and to collect a gift from them for the poor saints back in Jerusalem. And when they received him, they received him with fear and trembling. They had a great deal of regard for Timothy. So when Paul says to us we are to work for our boss with fear and trembling, it is in the same respect that we would have if we were told by the Lord Jesus Christ to do something. And you know, when the Lord Jesus Christ is here on the earth, he is going to rule with a rod of iron. And when men don't do what he says, he can throw them into hell, which will literally be on the earth, or he can strike them with that rod of iron. And I'll tell you what, that is a great cause of fear and trembling. And for years, it doesn't seem that the world's attitude between an employee and an employer is like that at all. Today, it's just see how much you can get. All right, the second don't is this. Don't get distracted. Don't get distracted. He said, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ. See that? In singleness of your heart as unto Christ. So he wants you to be single-minded, single-hearted. Don't get distracted, but keep your mind absolutely on your employer as you would unto Christ. And keep your mind on your job. Because you can't serve two masters. That is, if you're there to serve yourself and you're there to serve your master, your employer, you're going to end up serving yourself first. Look in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. Give you a reminder of a text that you probably have memorized. And that's Matthew chapter 6. Look at verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So you owe it to your employer to put in an honest day's work and give him your undivided attention. But if you're worried about what you can get out of the job more than you're worried about what kind of work you can do for him, you're serving the wrong master. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 at verse 31. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 31, the Bible says, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Well, you cannot honestly glorify God if you're looking out for old number one, if number one is you. Now, there are many that work, and they do put in a good day's work, but they're really worried more about not how good the work is that they do, but their retirement. Not worried so much about the quality of the work they do, but their benefits. Not so much worried about the quality of the work they do, but their incentive program. And you ought to be more concerned about the quality of your work, what you're doing for your employer, than what you're getting out of it. Now, I know that's very contrary. I know that's very contrary to the world's thinking and very contrary to the flesh because, I mean, after all, we got to look out for old number one, don't we? But not according to Paul. Not if you're a Christian. Not if you're a real Christian. Your work should be in singleness of heart as unto Christ. You should put out for your employer the same you would put out for the Lord Jesus Christ because you can't serve yourself. You can't serve yourself and him. You've got to serve one or the other. And if you serve yourself, your boss is going to know that, and pretty soon he's going to be looking for somebody that's going to be more interested in serving him. All right, now notice something else. The other don't is don't need supervision. Notice in verse 6 he says, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ doing the will of God from the heart. You see, there is a unwritten rule of thumb in human nature. You're going to work harder when the boss is watching than when he's not watching. You say, well, how do you know that? I said, well, you drive down the freeway, the interstate, where you know you can go 70 miles an hour, and you've got your speedometer set on cruise control. You're going 70 or 71 miles an hour, maybe 72, because you're pretty sure you won't get caught if you're only going 71 or 2. And you're driving down the interstate, and all of a sudden you look in the oncoming lane or look parked under a bridge or over parked on a frontage road or parked over the hill on the side of the road. You see a highway patrolman. You know what your immediate instinctive reaction is? Step on the brake. Why, you had it set on cruise control, and you really weren't speeding. Or maybe you were 1 or 2 miles over the speed limit. But instinctively, you'll at least move your foot toward the pedal if you don't actually step on it. Why? Because you're more concerned about obeying the law when the lawman is watching than when he's not watching. Why do you drive with a radar in your car? Because as long as it's not going off, you're pretty confident that there's nobody that's clocking your speed. But as soon as it goes off, what do? You slow down because you are going to maintain the appearance, at least as far as the lawman is concerned, you are going to maintain the appearance that you were obeying the law. Everybody works harder while the boss is looking. But here he says, you're supposed to work like you don't need any supervision, not with eye services, men pleasers. That shows you're a man pleaser if you work harder while your boss is looking than when he won't. And what's the deal? You don't understand that as a Christian, God sees everything you do anyway, and ultimately, what God judges about your work is going to be a whole lot more lasting and a whole lot more permanent and a whole lot more important to you later than how much you made for the work you did. How many men take a contract to go work at somebody's house and then cut corners and do less than what they bid to do, or do it with a cheaper material or a cheaper grade material or something like that just so they can get away with it? and make a little more money on the job. And you think, well, I've really done well. I made a little bit more money on this job. But the truth of the matter is, when you get before God and you are judged as a Christian, Christ saw the way you cut the corner, even though the person you worked for didn't. He's going to take it out on you in judgment. In the book of Hebrews, we find out that the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. God sees everything. He knows exactly what you're doing. He knows exactly what the motive of your heart is, the thoughts and intents of the heart. He discerns all of that stuff, and when He judges you, He's not going to judge you on how much you did. He's going to judge you on how well you did. So don't do it as needing supervision. Okay, so you see where we are so far then. First of all, you're to obey your employer. How? Well, don't be insubordinate, don't get distracted, and don't need supervision. Alright, what else then? There's some do's in the text. Do what? Do put your heart into it. He says in verse 6 again, he says, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Put your heart into it. Doing the will of God from the heart. Listen, God is more interested in your motive, in your effort, in your loyalty, and in your faithfulness than He is anything else. God is interested in those things. Your motive, your effort, your loyalty, your faithfulness. Would you be willing if everybody else walked off the job because they didn't think they were getting enough money for what they were doing? Wah, wah, wah. Would you be willing to go ahead and stay faithful because you hired on for that employer to work for him at that price because you thought that you should do this in honor to the Lord Jesus Christ? Maybe, maybe not. But if you're a faithful servant and following the exhortation of Paul the Apostle, you'll do it. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 3 says, the finding pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord trieth the hearts. He's more interested in what's on inside of your heart than what you appear to be doing on the outside. You ever see a person you tell to go do a job and they roll their eyes and huff off in disgust and, okay, I'll do it. Zero at the judgment seat of Christ. Why? Their heart's not in it. Little effort, no loyalty, not faithful. They should have seen that thing needed to be done. They were trying to get by with as little as they possibly could. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, the Bible says, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. That's what God's, put your heart into it. Say, but I don't like my job. Then go find a job that you do like and quit ripping off the employer. You owe him your very, very best. Why? Because you're doing this as to the Lord, whether he's looking or not. Put your heart into it. I promise you, you'll enjoy your job more if you do. What else do you want to do? According to what Paul said, work with your employer's best interest at heart. Look what he says in verse 7, Ephesians 6, 7. I'm getting ready to read this. I'm kind of laughing to myself. This stuff is so contrary to the world's ways today. It just sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? I mean, who ever thought of working like this? I mean, I can just hear you in your mind right now saying, you don't know my boss, fella. I need this job, and if I could find another job, I would, but God knows there's just no way in the world I can do what Paul says. Are you sure? Are you sure? I know you don't feel like it. The flesh never does. I mean, you don't even feel like reading your Bible and praying in the morning. I mean, sometimes you don't even feel like going to church, but you do. So, I mean, it shouldn't surprise me or surprise you that you don't feel like working for an old goat of a boss. But Paul didn't say concern yourself with how good a boss he was. He just said these are the things you're supposed to do. So I know it sounds ridiculous. But look what he says in verse 7. With goodwill doing service as to the Lord and not to men. So work with your employer's best interest at heart. With goodwill. With goodwill. Hard to do, amen? Paul said, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Can you possibly esteem your boss better than you? I know you're laughing to yourself right now because, I mean, you were just on the cell phone a little while ago or just in the coffee bar just a little while ago telling one of your employers, and I mean fellow employees, had just given your boss downtown Charlie Brown. Probably called him a jerk. But he said, "Each esteem other better than themselves." Hard to do. Hard to do. You couldn't do it without the grace of God. But that's the way he told you to work. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12, Paul says this, "We beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you, and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves." Now, that's, of course, talking about people that are over you in the Lord. But the same is true when you've got a boss. Because God's over you in the Lord, and you're working as unto Christ, you're to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Hard to do, brother. Hard to do. But that's what Paul said that we're supposed to do. What else? You do put your heart into it. Do work with your employer's best interest at heart. And do work just like you were working for God, as to the Lord and not to men, as if your immediate supervisor were God himself. Paul, when he wrote to the Philippians, he said this, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ. See, they weren't servants to men. They were servants to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the best example, by far the best example of all these things you've just seen is Joseph. In the Old Testament, in Genesis chapter 39, was not Joseph thrown into slavery by his brothers? He was. Didn't he have every reason in the world to be bitter? Yes, he did. But in Genesis 39, verse 4, we read that when Joseph was brought into Potiphar's house, he found grace in his sight and he served him. And so Potiphar made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. And then after that, because of a setup with Potiphar's wife, Joseph got thrown in jail. What happened there? Well, the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. The keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. And God made him to prosper. Well, what happened to him? When he finally got out of jail, guess what? He was made governor over the whole land of Egypt. Why? He was faithful in the little things that God told him to do in adverse circumstances, worked just like Paul told us to work here, and God promoted him. Now, who would you rather promote you, man or God? I'd say I'd rather have God promote me, wouldn't you? Well, masters, employers, verse 9 is for you. Don't threaten your employees, and recognize you need to do the same thing toward them as they do to you, because you're both going to be judged by God, and God is going to give you a good thing that you do as if you had done it directly to the Lord. There is a payday someday.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.